Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal. And I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from the land of bitter herbs, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session where we will discuss our plight and our rescue through God above. And from this location, I must report that the land of change is indeed becoming the land of bondage. Bondage to turmoil, bondage to failure, and bondage to confusion and darkness. My friends, the land of America is wilting, and her freedom has been placed in a jar that will soon be displayed in a museum to show the children how it once was and how it used to be. For now, we are watching the sun set on an empire that once had a pocket full of coins, with plenty to spare. But the land of plenty is now the land of abandonment and repossession. The land of the free is now the land of costly medicine. And the home of the brave has been relocated to an old rusty car on a Walmart parking lot. It's happening, folks. Life in USAville was becoming a bitter pill, proudly supplied by Obamacare and forcibly paid for by all of the people. It's 2014, folks, and we're in overtime, and a storm is brewing in the divine tea kettle. So my friends, I ask, what are you going to do? And what condition will you be in as it happens? Nathan, what are you talking about? What's going to happen? Well, that's a good question, folks. Here's the answer. The eruption is going to happen. The chaos, the fervor is going to happen. Confusion and the demotion of men who will weep like women. We're going to see confusion and the reduction of women who will cry like little children. And we're going to see the confusion of teary-eyed children who will see their parents lose their sanity. Ladies and gentlemen, we are nearing the arrival of the next chapter of demise. And God has been warning about this. The alarms have been sounded. The voices have been crying out. And it will not be stopped. So folks, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, brethren of the faith, there is only one assignment for the people of God. And that is to get your hearts ready. And get your spirits strengthened. Prepare yourself to endure and equip yourself to be an overcomer. That's it, folks. That's what we should be doing right now. The answer's not a mystery. And everyone that is listening needs to be entering Overcomers Boot Camp right now. I want to contribute to the best of my ability. I want to help. And I have some good news here on these programs. We're going to talk about these things. We're going to talk about what it means to be an overcomer, how to get there. And we're going to talk about these things in hopes that those of you that are listening that do not possess them right now will be able to obtain them for the future. Folks, there are tools that are required to be an overcomer. And that's what this series is about. And this is part two of our ongoing series. And I want to encourage you to join me on this journey because I believe that God can strengthen all of us to endure what's coming. So folks, I have good, positive, and encouraging news. In spite of the dark storm that is outside the walls of your house, in spite of the dark storm that is in your city, in your town, in your village, God can be with you and see you through. And He can be with your family, with your loved ones. And folks, that's what it's about to live in the end times, to meet the challenge to be an overcomer, not just to talk about it, not just to pretend that we're there. In our last program, we talked about this verse, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Now, if you haven't heard part one of this series, I want to encourage you to go to my website at watchmanscry.com and listen to it. Because every program in this series is going to build on the program before it. Because, folks, these programs are designed specifically to help every person that wants to be an overcomer in these end times. I've been seeking God on the information that I'm going to share in these programs, so I want to encourage you to please make it a priority to glean everything that you can from what we're going to talk about. Because I believe that these messages are going to play a role in helping many, many people become overcomers. We're going to dissect the scriptures. We're going to dissect the concepts. We're going to dissect the truths that have been made available to us through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about some difficult things. And by the way, just for the record, folks, I'm nobody special. I'm just another person who knows that without the Savior, Jesus Christ, I would be nothing. So, folks, please allow yourself to glean from these sessions. Now, we're going to talk about some very serious things, and I believe that we're going to find and discover some keys that are going to unlock many areas of truth. And I'm going to share some things that's going to bring healing and restoration to many people. I believe that the things we're going to look at will be able to set some people free of lifetime shackles. Now, I know that those are tall claims, but my friends, as you walk with me into this journey, I believe that you're going to see that these things are true. Because we're going to talk about the shackles that encumber so many people. We're going to talk about the struggles that many people have. You see, folks, the overcomers that God refers to and talks about in Revelation 12, these aren't super Christians that have never had problems. These aren't people that are perfect, because the remnant of God is made up of a bunch of people just like you and just like me. People who have struggled, people who have been afflicted with life, people who understand what scars are, people who know pain, people who know discomfort in dark nights and sleepless nights, and people who understand the battles that take place in our minds and the battles that take place in our spirits and in our souls. The remnant of God is made up of people who know what pain and hurt is. The remnant of God is made up of people who have bled. The remnant of God is made up of people who have cried out to God many nights for victory. People who understand challenge. People who know discomfort. People who know fear. People who know regret. And people who understand loss and sorrow and grief. Ladies and gentlemen, the remnant of God is made up of these, the afflicted ones, those who have been through the fire, those who have been purged, and those that are being purged. And I know that some of you right now are in the midst of the greatest trial in your life. Some of you are in the midst of the greatest battle of your life. Some of you have at times felt hopeless, like there was no answer, like there was no resolve. Some of you have felt at times that you had no more strength to continue on. But my friend, please hear me. God can see you through. And God wants you to be a part of those who understand what it means to overcome. So we're going to talk about these things. And I believe that healing and comfort and peace and restoration can come to many of you that are listening. And I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit can set many of you free from the shackles, from the struggles. My friends, we're going to talk about how to obtain these things. And I believe that God is going to offer healing and a remedy that can change your life. Folks, Jesus is the one that can set us free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's through God's Holy Spirit. And I believe in God's Holy Spirit. I believe that God's powerful, loving, compassionate anointing can come out of the speakers and the headphones as you're listening to these messages, and He can touch you. And He can comfort you. And I believe that God is able, by the power of His Holy Spirit, as we open His Word and discover His truth, can heal some of you to the point where you can save thousands of dollars on counseling bills from psychologists. Some of you are actually spending money on psychologists. Some of you are spending money to obtain counseling. Some of you are spending money to obtain healing, to deal with the issues of life. But my friends, I believe that the information that we're going to share on these programs and discuss will be able to set some people free from the bondages that have vexed them and tormented them for years. And if you might be wondering, is Nathan talking about me? Well, yes, I am, my friend. If the words apply to you, and if you are vexed, and if you're in the midst of a storm, and if you're tired of it, if you're tired of just surviving, if you're tired of pretending, if you're tired of the scabs and the bandages that continue to hurt without healing, this message is for you, and these series of messages are for you. And I believe that they're going to generate strength and confidence and restore those who have been mired to the past. And that's the Watchman's Cry guarantee. My friends, these messages contain Holy Ghost secrets and power that will help you to get to the next level with God. And they're going to explain what a Christian walk really is. And these things that we're going to talk about are many, and they're challenging, but I know they're true. Folks, I know what struggle is. I know what affliction is. I know what pain is. And I also know what restoration is. I know what rescue is. And God can rescue you from drowning. I know that there are many of you that are struggling. Some of you feel hopeless, defeated, ready to quit. Some of you have even asked yourself the question, or perhaps the enemy has whispered it in your ear, what's the use? Why even try? Why continue? My friend, please don't quit. God does not want you to quit. God can see you through. And these messages are going to do that. They're going to help to strengthen many of God's broken people. My friends, I believe that. I believe it. Why? Because God revealed it. And I've seen it in action. And I'm excited for this information that I'm going to share. So please, please, my friends, try to do something. Please try to commit to listening to this series and to allow God to help you with the challenges and the spiritual exercises that I'm going to talk about in these programs. Because if you are willing to do it, if you are willing to digest the challenges that I'm going to share and allow them to incubate in your heart, then I believe that Revelation 12:11 will be for you. You will be able to be one of the overcomers. You can overcome. For those of you out there that are tired of the mess? Is it getting old? How many of you would say, Nathan, I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of stumbling. I'm tired of crawling. But folks, please join me then in this exciting journey. And if you believe in what we're doing, and if you see the value of these messages, folks, these messages are going to change lives. And I believe that many, many souls are going to be turned around in God's kingdom for the better. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a treasure. That's priceless. So if you appreciate the efforts of this new project, please let us know, folks. Help us with your support so that we can finish this project with our needs met so that we can focus on this assignment. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this series that you're listening to right now, the Overcomer series, is a divine assignment. And I know this because God revealed it to me. He showed me some things that led me to this series and to this information. And that's why I'm excited. And that's why I feel so confident about it. Now, before I get started, I want to ask you to please get a pen and paper, get your Bible, and please take notes. Please share this message with everybody that you know. Share it with loved ones. If you know loved ones that are struggling in the faith, share this message with them. Make a copy or send them the link from my website, watchmanscry.com. You know, folks, in these end times, there's a lot of information on the internet that is studying the things that are coming. And there are a lot of people who have different assignments who are addressing the challenges that we are facing, and most of the messages that are out there are addressing the challenges from the physical and intellectual point of view. And there's a lot of good stuff out there. Granted, there's a lot of good stuff to help awaken the masses and the people, to allow people to know, to warn them that we're in the end times, the New World Order is coming, America is changing, tyranny is coming, the laws of freedom are collapsing, and our lives are going to be challenging in the future. But while there's a lot of that information out there, there are not many programs that are concentrating on the meat, on the focus of our mission. And not just the mission, but our condition. The condition of the saints, the condition of the church, the condition of the remnant, the challenges that we face that are spiritual, peering into the invisible realm, understanding the things that are inside of us, understanding the darkness that wants to be inside the heart of man, understanding the darkness that wants to rise up out of our flesh, and dealing with the darkness that wants to destroy. Folks, the darkness wants to destroy you. We have an enemy. We are in a battle that is spiritual. And it is not just you that is in this battle. Your loved ones are in this battle. If you're a parent, your children are in this battle. If you're a husband or a wife, your spouse is in this battle. And though the hour is late, the thing for us to have a hold of is that God has not abandoned us, and God is going to see you through. He's going to see His people through. Now, a few months ago, I made an announcement about an admission of an ailment that I have been struggling with over the past 10 years, and now it's going on 11 years. And if you're a regular listener and if you subscribe, you might have seen and read my last announcement that I shared about my health. I made an admission about an ailment that I'm battling, and it wasn't easy to share, but I had several reasons for doing it. And I'm talking about my battle with lupus. If you didn't read this announcement, you can go to my website. I shared a little bit of a testimony on the struggle that I've been having, on how I've been battling this dreadful autoimmune disease of lupus. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I just wanted to give you a brief statement about it in case you haven't heard, or in case you were just wondering where I am at this point. Now, those of you that are unfamiliar with the disease, it's a wretched disease. It's classified as an autoimmune disease. Now, some people may argue whether it's an autoimmune disease or not, but traditional medicine classifies it as an autoimmune disease with no known cure in the natural. That's according to traditional medicine. And what it does is it causes the body to attack itself, and it results in the joints and the organs, the skin, the tissue being attacked by the immune system. And traditionally, for some people, it eventually results in organ failure and then death. Now, I've been dealing with this thing for 10 years, and when I was first diagnosed with it 10 years ago, I made the decision that I wasn't going to use medicine. I was going to go just the regular route and try to take care of myself, and that's what I have done. But over the past few years, it has progressively gotten worse. At times, it's been so bad that it's hard to even function in a regular capacity, because on any given day, what it does is it just makes you fatigued. You're wiped out, because even after 8 or 9 hours of sleep, you can get out of bed, eat breakfast, and then you're overcome with fatigue and pain, and your joints hurt. It's been miserable, folks. I don't want to just spend too much time. This disease is very strenuous, and there's really no way to explain to some people what it's like, because the immune system is gone rogue. It's cannibalizing on the body. And to illustrate what it feels like, just imagine what your body feels like when you're fighting the flu. You know, folks, when your body's fighting the flu, usually your immune system is fighting the virus that's trying to make you sick. Your body gets tired because it's fighting the invading virus. And the result is that you have fatigue and brain fog, and you know that feeling you get right before you're sick? Well, that's what lupus does to a person every day, all the time. So the body deals with that when a person has lupus. Plus, on top of that, there's collateral damage, there's tissue damage, and the joints usually get attacked first, and then the lupus attacks the skin. There are many aches and pain and fatigue that cannot be described. So that's what it's like. I decided that I needed to share this because over the last few months, it's been about 6 months, I have noticed that my body has been getting weaker and weaker. And there were a few moments in time over the past several months where I was really wondering if that was going to be it, if I was done. Because I haven't been to the doctor, and I don't want to deal with, especially with Obamacare right now and the health rationing, I just didn't want to deal with that. So this has been a personal battle that I have been going through privately with my family. And folks, for the record, just so you know, I have had this disease longer than Watchman's Cry has existed. Watchman's Cry in its 7th or 8th year, and I've had this disease going on 11 years. So the entire time since the infancy of Watchman's Cry till now, I have been dealing with this ailment. So this ailment didn't happen after Watchman's Cry was born. I just want that to be for the record, because after I made the announcement about this illness, I got a lot of emails. And by the way, I want to thank you for the many encouraging emails that many of you sent. Some of you told me that you appreciated that I was being transparent, because some of you are struggling, and it's good to see that you're not the only one. And my friend, indeed, you are not the only one. Folks, if you only knew the struggle and the affliction that is incurred on a servant of God, for the person that answers the recruiting call to be a scribe for God or a messenger or a servant or a watchman, whatever the call is, for a person right now that's in the front lines, ladies and gentlemen, Satan hates God's servants. So he's going to attack in any way that he can to try to bring affliction and misery and pain, discouragement, to try to stop it, to try to demolish it and destroy it. So I'm no better than anyone else out there. And you know, folks, that's the way it has to be. Really, when you think about it, God cannot use a person that's full of himself. He can't use a person that is overconfident, that thinks that any gains made in their ministry is because of their ability or talent. This ministry belongs to God, and any gains that this ministry makes as far as promotion is because of God's mercy. That's it. God can raise up a ministry overnight, and he can tear down a ministry overnight. And this ministry is on assignment because God's allowing it to be. And when God is done with Watchman's Cry, then he'll be done with it. But for right now, he's using this ministry. So I just want to say thank you for all the words of encouragement. I really appreciate it. And I got a lot of emails from many of you saying that you're praying for me for recovery. And I appreciate that, my friends. And I want to ask to please continue in those prayers, because folks, we're in a battle right now. And I will admit that there's been times where I wondered if my usefulness to God was done. Since I released this message, many of you have said, no, Nathan, we need you to continue this work. God is using you, and please don't give up. And folks, let me make another admission right here. There have been times when discouragement set in so strong, and frustration, because even though my mind wanted my body to be strengthened, it wouldn't listen. And so frustration would come, and that's another thing I had to battle with, frustration. Because folks, when a person has a chronic illness, they can try all they want to will themselves to be healthy, but there's sometimes the body doesn't want to listen. The body says, I don't think so. I'm not going to listen to you. I just want to rest. It hurts too much. So some of you sent me letters that told me, Nathan, do not give up. I'm praying for you, and I'm asking God to give you healing and recovery, and I'm believing he's going to do that. And my friends, when I read some of those letters, they gave me a spark of hope and a faith that I needed to hear. So I want to say I appreciate those of you that sent me those encouraging emails. And also, I want to say this. Some of you sent me information with nutrition ideas for me to consider. And before I made this announcement, there were some nutritional things I didn't know about. You know, folks, that old adage that says, you don't know what you don't know. Well, it's true. There are some things we don't know, and because of ignorance, we don't know everything. So some of you sent me information on some possibilities that I could think about, some health regimens that I could try, and I appreciate the information that many of you sent, because some of the information I got, I had heard about, but then some of the other information I had not heard about. I was sent links to some YouTubes and to some websites of naturalists and some doctors who had discovered different things that helped others. So I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that information, because as it started coming in, I at first found myself overwhelmed. I was overstimulated. There was too much. I didn't even have the energy to read a lot of the emails. And then day by day, I started going back and reading them and hitting the links and watching the videos. And after a while, I started noticing that some of the testimonies that I was seeing in some of those videos made sense. Some of the science started to make sense. the science of the healing herbs that God had placed on this earth. So I want to say that I appreciate all of the responses from many of you. Now, I want to give an update on what's going on. Because of the wide variety of knowledge and nutritional information that some of you guys sent to me, which I really appreciate, I have now engaged myself in a radical regimen that has to do with an attempt to beat this thing through natural means, through nutrition, through supplements. And I am in week 3 of a new regimen. I have crossed out and eliminated probably 60 to 70% of what used to be my diet. And I am doing this as an attempt to regain my health. I am believing and praying and hoping that it's going to be a success. I'm believing. I have faith. As I make gains and as I make progress and as I have success in this new regimen, I plan to share how I did it with all of you. Now, I am hoping that I can start seeing results in the next 1 to 3 months. At this point, I would say that my health has improved maybe 5 to 10%, maybe. And I am pleading with God and asking Him to allow this regimen to work. Some of you might wonder, well, if God lets you get healed by nutrition, why didn't you get healed earlier? You know, folks, that's the million-dollar question. I guess because I didn't know. And as I make gains with this, I'm going to let every one of you know what I did to make the change, because if possibly some of you are also struggling with chronic autoimmune type ailments, then I want to be able to contribute to possibly helping you with how I did it. Now, I had a couple of you that emailed me and you had stated that, you know, Nathan, perhaps God allowed you to have your ailments so that you can be able to relate to people. And, you know, folks, I do believe that. I am believing I'm going to get healed, but to the person that would say, well, then why did you have the ailment for 10 years? Maybe I needed to walk down this road. Perhaps God couldn't use me otherwise. You know, God can use a desperate person much easier than He can use a person that's full of confidence in themselves. So I believe that I did have to go down this road of affliction. And by the way, I am still there, but I believe that I had to go down the road of affliction. And you know, folks, I do know what it's like. I do. I know what it's like to be all by yourself, crying out to God and asking Him why. I know the battle to not allow myself to get angry, folks, or to be bitter. I know what it's like to wrestle, to ask Him for more time, and to ask Him for a reprieve. God, just a little bit more time, for a little bit more strength. Ladies and gentlemen, I know what it's like to cry out to God and just ask Him, can I just have one good day? Just one day, God. Just one fruitful day. Folks, I know what it's like to become weary of the pain, to become weary of the body that doesn't want to respond. And I know what it's like to start thinking that it would be better to leave this old place, this old earth, this old tent. It would be better to leave this place than to continue in this broken down old temple. Folks, I know what that's like. And when I gave my message, the announcement about my ailment, I made a comment and I said, I have one foot in the grave. And there were some of you that wrote me and you took issue with that. And you said, Nathan, don't say that. It sounds like you're giving up. You're confessing defeat. And you know, folks, I'm sorry that those words sounded like defeat. I apologize that it sounded like I was quitting or that I had a negative confession. But when your body feels like it's in decline and you can almost see the other side because your body's just starting to wither, it's an admission of truth. I felt like I had a foot in the grave. I wasn't trying to have a negative confession and, you know, speak death to myself. I was telling the truth. Sometimes I wondered if I was on my deathbed. So I know what it's like, folks. I know what it's like to have one part of you wanting to give up, but the other part says, no, I have loved ones. I have work to do. I have an assignment. No, not yet. Please, God, please give me more time. I know what it's like to say no and to say it with resolve. No, God, please.
Have mercy. I know that there are some people out there with the snare of Satan over them, a demon on their back who say over and over, and they said it before, they're on record, God saw it, God recorded it. Some of them have it recorded in public eye on the internet. So they're out there saying it in public. There's people out there that say, Nathan is only doing Watchman's Cry for self-glory. He's doing it for riches. And by the way, side note, folks, that one's funny. You don't get rich doing this, ladies and gentlemen. This ministry is by faith. And some people say that I'm in it to deceive people on purpose and to confuse the people with scary sermons and doom. You know, folks, they say that. But you know what? When a person lives their life, and this is how it's been for me for the last few years. And here's the deal, folks. None of you knew this. And those accusers that are out there that have their blogs saying stuff about me, they didn't know that I had this ailment. But when a person lives their life and they wake up every day with one foot in the grave and one foot on this side with the knowledge of their mortality and with the knowledge that all flesh is grass and the knowledge that our bodies are mortal and the knowledge that our lives are just a vapor and we're just here for a little bit, but for the mercy of God, when a person lives that way because they're daily living it, they have the mentality of what this reality is. They don't have any time to entertain fleshly gain or fleshly pursuits. Folks, I don't have time for that nonsense. Because as long as this ministry has existed, this ailment has always been there, trying to shove a one-way ticket into my pocket. And I have had to continue by taking that one-way ticket out of my pocket and saying, no thanks. Because this ministry has work to do. And I have work to do for the kingdom of God. So for those of you out there who hate this ministry and have made it your satanic crusade to do damage to this ministry, let me say this. And please, for the sake of your eternal soul, stop it. You need to learn to fear God. And you need to learn to look in the mirror. To the haters, to the end time message out there, your campaign against God's servants has been based on a satanic lie. And you've allowed yourself to fall under a demonic spell. And all of your accusations are false. You know why? Because I have had a foot in the grave, my unbelieving friend. And my labor involves yanking souls from the grasp of hell. That's it. Folks, I don't want to waste time on that nonsense, but I just wanted you to know the type of battle that this ministry goes through. Folks, to be a watchman of God is not glorious from the human sense, because it entails constant attacks. And it's not easy, but it's worth it. And that's okay. It's okay that it's hard, because Jesus said he was going to build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. And if Satan thinks that sliming me with this ailment is going to give him victory, he's wrong, because it only motivates me to harvest more souls for God. Now, do I believe I'm going to stay this way? No, I don't. I believe God's going to heal me. I know the promises of Scripture, and I know that my God is able. I want to shift gears now, and let's get into our message. Listen to this message more than one time. I'm going to have a lot of information in these programs. I plan to share a lot. I'm going to dissect a lot of verses. I'm going to bring some concepts up that maybe you have thought about, maybe you haven't. If some of you are seasoned Christians and you've been at this a long time, then I hope that some of this information will serve as a reminder to maybe some things that you forgot, maybe things you knew in the past, and because life happened, maybe you overlooked them. So this message is for everybody. So please get your Bible, get a pen and paper, and again, folks, share this information. The website is watchmanscry.com. I'm Nathan Liao, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Oh, let us lift Just let our voices ring. Oh, let us feel His presence. Let the sound of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing the song of Jesus' love.
Wow, what a beautiful song. You know, folks, that song has been around for decades and it still blesses me every time I hear it. That song is done by Chuck Gerard, a dear brother in Christ. So, folks, you ready to get started? You have your Bibles, you have your pen and paper. You ready to get down to the meat of the Word? I want to start with the reading of our theme passage for this series, which is found in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there, Revelation 12, 11. You there, folks? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. What does it mean when it says, and they loved not their lives unto the death? For those of you that have been Christians long enough, you're familiar and you know, you're well acquainted with the concept of martyrdom. You're well acquainted with the concept of persecution in Christianity. And you're well acquainted with the history of man that has persecuted the people of God throughout time. From the intellectual point of view, it's easy to see this verse through the mind of reason. They loved not their lives unto the death. And when we consider that this is talking about some group of people who will be alive on planet Earth during the tribulation period, many times it's possible to allow the concept of how serious these words are to escape us, because it's talking about somebody else. And when we consider that these words could apply to somebody else, the tendency is to cheer them on. The tendency is to hope that they're able to do it. But there's not really an emotional attachment or connection to these words, because the tendency is to think that these words apply to some group of people in the future. And since it's going to apply to them, then it's not going to apply to us. And that being the case, there's really not a lot to worry about. But what if these words apply to us who are alive right now because we are in the last days? And if we are willing to place the possibility on the table that we are in the end times, I know that some of you really believe that we're in the end times. You're absolutely sure. You're certain that we are in the end times. I believe that we are. I believe that we're in overtime. I believe that we are very late in the game. The Bible tells us when all things are ready, then the king is going to call for his wedding feast. When things are ready. Folks, I believe that things are just about ready. And if that's the case, then these words are going to apply to us. The overcomers are going to be some group of people. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that they're going to be us. I believe that we are the ones that are going to be those to fulfill the verses and the prophecies that we find in Scripture. And here is a prophecy that we're reading about. This group of people will exist, and they're going to be able to overcome by getting a hold of some things. That's why we're talking about this, folks. We have to start processing this information. If these words apply to you, my friend, then at some point in your life, you're going to find yourself with the choice of being an overcomer or not being an overcomer. So this verse, and they loved not their lives unto the death. If this verse applies to us, then how are we going to do this? That's why we have to talk about it, folks. So how can we get to the point where we love not our lives unto the death? We're going to talk about this a lot in these programs. And in this program, we're going to visit the introduction of this theme. But it's going to take a while to talk about it. It's going to take a while to dissect it. I have a lot of information I've been seeking God about. The Holy Spirit has been opening my eyes and helping me to understand certain things. And I'm going to share all of this information with you. So when we consider this group of people who did not love their lives unto the death, how does a person get to that point? You know, folks, that's a good question. I know that some of you can't even imagine the concept of facing the challenge of endurance where it has to do with your life, because it's the natural part of us to want to continue our life. It's the natural part of our reasoning and existence and our will to want to survive, to fight to survive. So how can we take a person who in the natural wants to survive, but at the same time have such a commitment to God that we don't love our lives, even unto the death? How do we reconcile these two things? And what will it take to make the difference? These people, in verse 11, did not love their lives unto the death. How did they get there? Who taught them? What information did they have a hold of? Did it just happen overnight? Did it happen without any effort on their part? Would this verse be fulfilled because one day they wake up and they are just overcomers? My friends, if we are in the last days, we have to make sure that we are in this group. You have to make sure that you start living your life with a decision and a commitment to be a part of this group. And being a part of this group does not happen just by saying that we're in this group.
Being a part of this group occurs because something happens on the inside. Something happens inside of our spirit, and something needs to happen inside of our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions, in our determination. Something needs to happen to get us to this point. And folks, you can get there. I believe that you can lead your family, your loved ones, your children. God can provide the tools that we need so that we get there. In order for us to be able to fulfill this verse, and they loved not their lives unto the death, it's going to take a decision from you. To be able to get to this place, mentally and spiritually, cannot happen to the person who's a quitter. Achieving this condition will not happen by people who are whiners. Achieving this condition will not be accomplished by people who have hate in their heart. It will not be accomplished by people who have doubt, who are full of doubt and unbelief. It will not be accomplished by people who complain about the situation, the circumstances, the challenges. Folks, can you imagine the overcomers finding themselves in the tribulation period and whining about it and complaining about it? Why did God have to let this happen to us? This is no fair. I didn't sign up for this. God doesn't love me. Why is he allowing this to happen? You know, folks, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were full of an attitude of griping and complaining and unbelief, unthankfulness. They didn't trust God. They didn't have the faith to believe that God was going to see them through. Even though they saw all of his signs and wonders, they still had doubt. And when we consider that attitude to the attitude of the church right now, how many people that are found in the end time church of America have an overcomer's attitude? Now, ladies and gentlemen, to be very clear, in order for us to achieve this assignment, we have to be truthful with ourselves and analyze where we are and evaluate and assess where we are spiritually with God. And if we see that there are areas that are not up to par with what we read in the scriptures, then we have to make adjustments. We have to make them matters of prayer. We have to make them matters of challenge. We have to make them matters that must be dealt with. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. These people mentioned right here in this passage, they did it. They were able to accomplish it, and they knew how. Now, why is that? What made the difference in their lives? Does this verse describe everybody? What do you think, folks? Do you think everybody that's alive on planet Earth will be an overcomer? Of course not. What about in the church? Do you think everybody that goes to church will be an overcomer? I don't think so. Because the Bible also tells us that there will be many that will be deceived in the last days. Jesus says in Matthew 24, because the love of many will wax cold, they will betray one another. It says in Matthew 24, verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So there will be some who go to church. There will be some people who attend church, who sit next to you in church, who will have their love grow cold. There's a good chance I don't have to tell you this. You know this already. You're probably watching it happen. There are many people who attend church or who consider themselves part of the body of Christ whose love has grown cold. And there are also many people who do not attend church who call themselves Christians, whose love has grown cold. And there are other people who consider themselves part of the remnant whose love has grown cold. Why will this happen? Because lawlessness will abound. So what type of lawlessness are we talking about? Well, that's going to be a part of this session and future sessions. But in summary, the lawlessness that will abound is the darkness that will arrive over planet Earth. And there is a slime of darkness, and it is coming across the nation of America, even right now as I speak. And this darkness is sliming a lot of people right now. And this darkness is garnished and seasoned with deception and dark spiritual influence and temptation and waywardness. I could go on and on describing this darkness, but folks, you know that it's around. You know that it's here. I've spoken to many people that have told me the darkness coming over America is unlike anything they've ever encountered or felt or discerned or seen. Folks, you can see the darkness in the activity of people today and the activity of crime. You can see the darkness displaying itself in the fruit of evil and the works of the flesh that are taking place in the lives of so many people right now. Today's young culture is exploding with darkness. All you got to do is go to the Drudge Report every day and read the latest crazy crime that happened someplace in America where young people are behaving like rabid animals, attacking the elderly, attacking older people for no reason. That knockout game that seems to be gathering momentum across the country is being done by young people. And it's not just the knockout game that gives evidence that darkness is across America. The darkness is attacking so many people. People in the world and people in church. And I personally have encountered people who are immersed in darkness because I get their emails. I get emails from people who are crying out for help. And I also get emails from people who are throwing dark arrows. Folks, this thing is out there. So while this spirit of lawlessness is abounding and gaining traction over this planet, at the same time, you have to get a hold of the tools to overcome this darkness. And it will not happen automatically. It does not happen just because we say that we're an overcomer. It does not happen just because we know about the New World Order. It does not happen just because you listen to program after program that is found on Blog Talk Radio that talks about the New World Order. Now, studying the New World Order is beneficial because it allows us to know our enemy. It allows us to know what we're up against. However, studying the New World Order and the criminal element of the New World Order and the players of the New World Order and the speculation of how the downfall is going to happen, how the crushing of the dollar is going to play out, all of that is very good information, ladies and gentlemen. But after all of that information comes to fruition and it comes true, then what? Well, then we are going to be faced with either being an overcomer or allowing ourselves to be overcome and overwrought with lawlessness. So these people mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they loved not their lives unto the death. How did they do it? Well, first of all, they did it because they had possession of knowledge to be an overcomer. They also had understanding on what it took to be an overcomer. By the way, folks, if you're taking notes, write this down. To be an overcomer, we must have the knowledge of how to do it. We must also have an understanding of what it takes, an understanding of the challenge to get there, an understanding of the roadblocks that will try to prevent us to arrive there. We also have to have the right attitude. My friends, you must have the correct attitude. And that attitude needs to be an attitude that lines up with the scriptures. It has to be an attitude that brings healing. It needs to be an attitude that is full of faith, that seeks the light. It has to be an attitude that Satan cannot try to get a hold of and twist for his benefit. In order for us to be an overcomer, we have to have the right mental state of mind. And the attitude that we have must come from the way that we think. That means that we have to have the correct mindset. That means that we have to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, folks, that's what the helmet of salvation is. It is the helmet that we place over our heads where we reprogram our minds to think differently, where we program our minds to think like Jesus would think, where we reprogram our minds to have the counsel of God, wisdom from God, not the wisdom of man, not the wisdom of the flesh, but the wisdom and the counsel and the insight and the understanding that only comes from God. Now, how do we do that? That's what we're going to talk about, folks. Also, to be an overcomer, we must have a determination. If you haven't already, you need to decide that you're going to be an overcomer. If you have decided to be an overcomer, then you must continue to decide every day that you're going to be an overcomer. And you have to decide with a determination that no matter what happens, you're going to fulfill this verse. You're going to complete this role in your life. A determination, folks. And when you have a determination, no one can take it away from you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. When you have a determination, you can be thrown down on the ground by tyrant jackboot thugs who try to take it away from you, and they won't be able to do it because you are determined. Those that are determined in their heart will be able to face the firing squad. Nathan, I don't know if I can have that determination. There are obstacles to my determination. I have doubt. I have fear. And you know what, folks? If that's where you are right now, then step one is to at least admit it. Step one is to evaluate where you are in comparison and then make the adjustments. And also to gain the strength from God over the weaknesses that you have. If you don't have the determination that you're supposed to have, then that's part of the assignment. That's part of our homework. And as I bring up all of the different elements of being an overcomer, folks, please make note of them. And if I mention some areas where you know that you're not quite there or where you're struggling, then circle it as you're taking notes, highlight it, put a star next to it, and make it a matter of prayer. Let it be a reminder that these are some things that I have to talk about with my loved ones, my spouse, my children. Also, as I mention these things, folks, let them be an assessment that you can also go over with your family, with your children. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What else did they possess? Well, based on these words, they had boldness. They had courage. They had a boldness that allowed them to face their accusers. They had a boldness that allowed them to face the threats. They had a boldness that allowed them to face the opposition. And the boldness that they had gave them courage that no matter what they looked at, it didn't faze them. It didn't melt them. It didn't change their mind. It didn't overwhelm them. So how do we get a hold of that kind of boldness, folks? The scriptures say that the righteous are as bold as a lion. But the wicked, on the other hand, will flee when no one's pursuing them. When they're not being chased, the wicked will still run, but the righteous will still stand there and face the odds and the opposition. How do we get that boldness? We're going to talk about that, because we can find many accounts in Scripture where the people of God were faced with threat, with opposition, with bad circumstances, and they had boldness to continue on. And the boldness that they received came supernaturally from the Holy Spirit. As they were filled, they had boldness. We're going to talk about that. What else did they possess? Well, they possessed a commitment. They were committed. The overcomers are committed to their assignment. And when the overcomers look around and see the condition of the world, and they see what's going on in the world, they were committed to complete their assignment and make it all the way to the end. Jesus said, "He that endures to the end will be saved." Folks, that takes a commitment. Jesus didn't say he that endures partially and quits will then be saved. No, no, my friends. We got to endure all the way to the end. We have to make it to the end. There's no quitting in this. There's no changing our minds in this. For the people that see what's going on in this world, I get emails from people that say they're scared. Or they tell me that their loved ones are scared, their spouse is scared, they don't like to listen to my programs because they get scared. We know, folks, step one, we have to get past that. And there are so many people that get angry with the watchman of God because we're up on the wall and we see in the horizon the next phase of the judgment. We see the smoke rising in the air. We see the armies that are gathering in the distance. And so when people hear us share it, they get mad at us. You're scaring us. Well, you know what, folks? Whether or not the information about the end times scares you, the army is still approaching us. There is still a gathering of opposition to America that's coming. There are still other judgment trains that are approaching us. So whether or not they create fear in your heart or in a person's heart will not change the outcome. It's still coming. And folks, that's the other part of this job, to be a watchman. We're just the messengers. We're just telling you what we see. So when a person hears the information that sounds scary, we got to get past the fear and then face it like men and women of God. We got to face it with a spine. We got to face it with boldness. We got to face it with faith, with strength, and with a commitment that no matter what, we're not going to allow lawlessness to abound in our hearts. When that dark enemy that is approaching arrives, they're going to bring in more darkness. They're going to bring in some scary stuff. And they're going to also bring in the ways of Babylon, which is going to increase the temptation factor that looms in the air. You know, folks, living in Babylon is not easy. I know this. You know this. As this darkness has increased, folks, have you noticed that the temptation factor has gone up? Have you noticed that? I've received emails from a lot of people that have told me this. They feel it. And as this thing is sliming the world, we got to be able to stand firm. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax. Folks, you cannot allow your love to grow cold. By the way, side note, if your love happens to be cold right now, then you got to rekindle the flame. We need to get to the place where we set that thing back on fire like it's supposed to be. You need to become a lamp on a hill. You need to become a lamp that others can see. But Nathan, I'm defeated. I'm discouraged. I'm overwhelmed. Well, if that may be you, my friend, there's hope for you, and God can restore. In fact, right now in this late hour, God is restoring. He's compelling many souls to come back to Him. He's compelling many souls to repent. He's compelling many souls to be restored with Him, to get back on the path, to return to the Shepherd. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. How did they do this? They had a grasp. They had a hold of the word of God. They had God's word in their heart. They had possession of God's word that they hid in their heart. David said, "Thy word I have hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee." In order for this task to be accomplished, it is not going to only happen in our intellect. It cannot be limited to our intellect. Intellectual Christianity will fail every time. Intellectual Christianity will succumb to deception. Intellectual Christianity will wither and fade because it's not inside of the Spirit. And for those that have a high amount of knowledge and a grasp of many scriptures, but it's just in their intellect, but it's not in their spirit, there's going to be a struggle. And folks, we have to get the Word of God in our spirits. We have to get it in there. It has to become part of your life. It has to become like oxygen to you. Nathan, how do I do that? The Bible's boring to me. I don't understand it. If that may be you, my friend, there is hope. The Word can come alive for those of you that are not there right now. And we're going to talk about these things. We're going to deal with these matters. And God is going to restore many of you. And He's going to relight the lamps for many of you. Folks, I believe this. I believe that His power can do this, because we read about it right here. They were able to do it, to overcome. So God's word needs to become the factor in our lives and in our hearts. And I know that many of you already have God's word as a foundational source of nourishment. There are some of you that are seasoned Christians, and you know what I'm talking about. But I'm bringing these words as an encouragement for you to continue on. Because God sees your commitment, and He's going to use you. Those of you that have been waiting for your moment, that have been seeking God, your moment's coming, my friend. Your opportunity is coming for you to be used by Him in a mighty way. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that. I believe the Word shows us this, and we're also going to talk about that as well. Now, what else did the overcomers possess? Well, they also possessed another very important thing, a foundational thing. They possessed a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. They had a hold of the assurance that comes from salvation. They had a hold of the knowledge of Jesus. They knew who they believed in. They knew it. They had encountered Jesus on their own road to Damascus. Every one of them. It says they overcame Him by the what? The blood of the Lamb. That's what kept them going. And the word of their testimony. The word. The words of Jesus, the word of God. Folks, they have a hold of the relationship with Jesus. They can hear God's voice. They can hear His voice as the great shepherd who leads us beside the still waters, and who also leads us through the storm, through the turbulent seas, through the pounding waves, through the dark nights, by following His voice and allowing Him to be the captain of our ship and the Lord of our life. They had a hold of their relationship with Jesus, and it was beautiful, and ladies and gentlemen, it was real. So for us, we're going to follow suit. We're going to do that, and I believe that God is going to be restoring so many lives in this late hour, lives that have been broken and torn and confused. Folks, I know that some of you are there. I know that some of you are struggling. Some of you are not happy with where you are. Some of you are compromising, but folks, God can help break the shackles of bondage in your life. He can bring victory. He can bring restoration. And He can do it miraculously by the power of His Spirit. But folks, it's going to take a decision, a commitment, a determination to see this thing through. Those that are overcomers know their surroundings. And they know what time it is. You know, folks, one of the biggest lies from Satan is to try to convince us that, you know, there's more time. You don't have to get serious with God yet. I know that you want to, but just wait a little bit longer. Finish enjoying this month of fleshly delight, and then you can get serious later. Satan deceives with the temptation of procrastination. For those that he cannot convince that God's not real, for those that he cannot convince that salvation's not necessary, he'll try to throw in the wedge, the sucker punch of procrastination. They can still keep a person down. I'm pretty sure that there are many people who will be standing before Jesus and they'll say, Jesus, I didn't know that the hour was as late as it was. You showed up all of a sudden in the sky and I didn't know it was time. I didn't see the signs. You showed up when I wasn't ready. Folks, that's going to happen because the parables of Jesus tell us that it's going to happen. They say it is. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Watch. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Folks, there will be some people who will not be ready, who are not watching. In fact, there will be a lot of people, and I would venture to say that the majority of people will be caught off guard. What time is it right now? The overcomers are already starting to prepare now. And I know that some people could try to argue and say, Nathan, what if you're wrong? What if we're not in the last days? What if there's 10 more years or 20 more years? I think that you're getting people all riled up and you're getting them all concerned and scared and fearful because you're telling them that Jesus can return at any moment. Well, folks, isn't that what I just read? Jesus said to watch, therefore, to be waiting. And an overcomer does not say to himself, and he does not write in his diary, okay, based on the news that I'm observing here, based on the Drudge Report and the latest report by Alex Jones and Gerald Celente, it looks like we have 3 more years before the New World Order really gets going and the dollar's not going to crash for another 2 years. So I can keep goofing off for at least 2 to 3 years and then I'll get serious. Folks, the Bible doesn't say to do that. But how many people are? How many of those who do listen to those programs tell themselves, I'm going to get closer to God as I see the events getting closer. I'm just not ready yet. Folks, I know they're out there. I know some of you listening to me right now are probably thinking that way. And some of the haters of Watchman's Cry have accused me of saying that I'm getting everybody all uptight and scared and fearful because I'm telling them that the return of Jesus is soon when it's really not. So don't be afraid of what Nathan says. You have more time. Folks, I have not said that we're in the tribulation. I've never said that. However, I have said this. I believe that the tribulation is very close, and I believe that right now we are in the time of sorrows. We are in the time of the birth pangs, where all the events leading up to the tribulation are occurring right now as we speak. We are watching crazy weather. We are watching earthquakes in diverse places, storms, whirlwinds. We are watching nations rising up against nation. We are watching lawlessness abound. We are watching, now folks, get this, ethnos against ethnos. Matthew 24, verse 7, ethnic group against ethnic group. Now, I'm going to say something right here, and I'm not saying it because I'm racial. I'm just saying it because it's the truth, folks. I don't have to convince you. The black population in America has a large portion of their population that's very angry right now. They are full of anger and hatred toward whites and non-blacks. Folks, we're watching it, especially the young portion of the black population. They're mad. And this anger that they have is being fueled by satanic powers of darkness. It's being fueled by darkness and demons and evil spirits that is encouraging them to randomly beat up white people. Nathan, you're being racist. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth, folks. Many cities who are seeing this happen are not talking about it. The news doesn't want to talk about it. They're hate crimes. We're watching it happen. It's fulfilling Matthew 24, ethnic group against ethnic group. And this thing's just going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse than it is right now. Why? Because lawlessness is abounding. And when lawlessness abounds, darkness enters. And when darkness enters, there are fluttering demons behind the scenes in the invisible realm that are encouraging humans to do crazy and bizarre things. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, should illustrate and prove how late the hour is, because we're watching it happen here in America. We have never seen this sort of activity like we're seeing now. Random acts of violence like this. Folks, it's going to get worse. The hour is late, and the overcoming candidate does not sit around and procrastinate and say, well, let me look at my watch here. I have a few more minutes before I have to take this thing a little bit more serious. The overcomer is always watching. Jesus said, watch. So the overcomer knows their surroundings. They know what time it is. So my friend, let me ask you something. Do you know what time it is? Do you? Can you sense it? Do you bear witness when you hear these words? Does your spirit say, Nathan, amen. God has been showing me the same thing. You know, folks, the person that is in tune with the Spirit of God is going to know this is true. And many of you know that this is true. That's why you listen to this program, because you know it's true. Unfortunately, a lot of the people around you have no clue that it's true, because they don't have the sensitivity and the discernment that you do. Isn't that amazing, folks? You can see the same news event and the same activity by people around you, and you can see alarms are going off. Danger alarms. The siren has a loud shrill in your spirit. You can hear it. And you try to tell someone, hey, look what's going on. And their eyes glaze over and they look at you and say, huh? What are you talking about? Really? Well, okay, what else you want to do? Let's go shopping. What reality show's on? I don't want to listen to your thing. You're getting too sidetracked. You're getting too excited about that. Folks, I know it's challenging to try to speak to family members and loved ones who are closed off to this information. I know it's hard, and I know it's frustrating. Some of you send me emails and you're really brokenhearted over this. You say, Nathan, what do I do? They won't listen. Folks, the only thing that we can do is to continue to pray for them and ask God to remove the crust, the scales over their eyes, and to ask God to send His Holy Spirit to compel them. God knows how to compel someone. He compelled you, folks, when He brought you into the fold. I know that many of you have a testimony and a story of how the Holy Spirit got a hold of you one day so long ago, or maybe recent, when you were lost and doing your own thing and you were blind, and then God showed up. Folks, remember that? Maybe it was some story on the news, or you were flipping channels and you saw that preacher talking, or a friend told you something, or you found a track, or the Bible opened up, or you just knew that it was time. You knew it was time. That's the compelling power of the Holy Spirit. God can do it. And unless the Father draws us, we're not going to come toward Him. It was the Father that drew us, so it is also the Father's power of the Holy Spirit that can draw our loved ones. So my friends, that's another part of the homework. Write that down. Stand in the gap in prayer. That means that it's going to take some of our time to pray for them. It means that we're going to have to set aside the things we're doing so that we can pray for our loved ones. Put it on the schedule. Set it aside. I'm going to pray for my loved ones tonight. When the house quiets down and the sounds quiet and the kids are in bed and my loved ones are in bed, I'm going to spend some time praying for them. Or maybe when they're gone, maybe when the house is quiet during the day. Folks, just find a moment in time to start praying for your loved ones. Stand in the gap. I've talked about this several times in the past, and we're going to talk about it more as we get into these sessions. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. When we look at the beginning portion of this verse, it says they overcame Him. Who is Him? What are they talking about? Him? Well, Him that is mentioned here is the Him that is in the previous verse. So what's in the previous verse? You have your Bibles, folks? Verse 10. By the way, we're going to start dissecting all of the portions of these passages, and we're going to go very deep. And we're going to talk about some things that may be disturbing, but folks, as we do, they're also going to be challenging. They're going to be enlightening, and I believe they're going to set a lot of us free. Well, it looks like we're out of time for part one. This is going to be the end of part one. So please go to part two of this program, where you'll be able to hear the rest of this information already in progress.